persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire, due to hearing the glories of the Lord, are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Okay. Let's go ahead here then with the... Now, we went ahead and analyzed, reorganized this. You know, hope it's not blasphemous.
I'm sorry, I didn't mute everybody. Can you give me just 1 second? So I've got to get you unmuted on your telephone, which I've achieved. Okay. Now we're ready.
It was 7 seconds. Everybody, I think they're doing these studies, you know, even in prisons now, because of course we're in America, everybody can be whatever he wants to be. That's kind of one of the basic philosophical principles embedded in our Dandaveda, in our political science. That in America, everybody can become whatever they want to become. Yeah, but of course, you know, the other one is everybody has their karma. You have your family. You have your family traditions. You're born into a certain family. So some studies in prisons now discovering that there are generational aspects to being prisoners and criminals. Yeah. And I come from an Austrian family, so I have this tendency to, you know, count everything and want everything to be in a certain, logical order, you know, according to gross materialism. So I went through this and reorganized it here. Even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities, okay, we're setting up the basic background here. Even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities, due to hearing the glories of the Lord, persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy, who breathe heavily and perspire, are promoted to the kingdom of God, which is above the material universes and is desired by Brahma and other demigods. So it's a very sophisticated sentence. And I'm hearing, like, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he's talking like this. He's talking in long compound sentences, which you have to be able to have a broad intelligence, you know, which maybe comes from becoming born in a good family and having some training as a brahmachari. Because then you can accommodate these broader ideas, you know, rather than see spot run spot run, like that. We have these little things where we can put together maybe sentences with a noun, a verb, and a, what do you call it, an object or something like that. Then we start to become confused. So reading someplace, this is the first level of Smaranam, where we have some kind of logical understanding of things. We can organize the data, the information in terms of logic, you know, again, like grammar, subject, object, subject, verb, object. You know, in other languages, they have those in different places. They have different grammars. And, of course, beyond that is our different rules of logic and mathematics. So this is the basic kind of contemplating it here. This is the basic verse that Lord Brahma is talking about. First, he's talking about the kingdom of God. And the demigods are wondering why things are becoming so disturbed, you know, and why there are problems like that, you know. And we may notice this, that, you know, we run in certain kind of bad luck or obscurity, or, you know, can't accomplish certain kinds of things we want to accomplish, or have a certain character where things automatically fall in line, you know. And we begin to see this as devotees, and I saw a person maybe discuss that, but there is karma. You know, there is like a destiny. There are things going on like that, you know. And so the demigods are coming and wondering what's going on in the universal affairs, who is causing these problems. And they want, trying to want relief, you know. And Lord Brahma explains that actually it has a pretty subtle, you know, subtle cause, you know, which was a disturbance right at the gates of the spiritual world. And this is what we'll talk about, that the spiritual world is above the material world. You know, far, far beyond that, and its potency and its glories and everything else. You know, so we discussed that yesterday, was it? Yeah, that it's way, way beyond the worlds of the demigods and way, way beyond the worlds of, and then therefore beyond the material worlds. So some disturbance there is then is being kind of manifested in our world, by also some misdoings at a moral, let's say a moral level. You know, spiritual things are passing down to a moral level, and of course then they have this very special potency, And so he starts to describe the kingdom of God, and that's what happened, and the sages went there. And then he makes this point that people don't want to hear about these things, The four Kumaras got a glimpse into Vaikuntha, and everybody else wants to hear about it, Those who really have some intelligence, And this is so potent, just talking about heaven, talking about Vrindavan Dham, It's so potent, talking about ISKCON and the activities, that go on there, and how it's divided up and how it's working on a spiritual level, These things, even if people don't care for meditation, which is very difficult, restrain the mind, don't think about things you don't want to think about, And other austerities, Even those people who are don't, if they just hear the glories of the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord, And what kind of, hearing? Those people who have a reaction of bodily features change in ecstasy, maybe becoming, the muscles tightening up, convulsion, who breathe heavily, and who perspire, These are all, what are these? These are, vibhava is the stimulation, anubhava are these reactions, and then vibhava, anubhava, no, see, it's your sattvika bhava. And anubhava are the ones you kind of can control, like clapping your hands and singing and so on. So what happens to people like this? They are promoted to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is a very special place. It's above the material universes, and of course we kind of accept that. I mean, years and years of hearing about it, But here is maybe some information, that other people don't have. Even from the Mahabharata, I think he would be confused about this. I'm not quite sure. And it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes and is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Now this purport is grandfather, one of the grandfathers. There's one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita that's 7 pages long. Interesting. And this is one that was a very long purport. So basically, maybe I'm going to read the entire time. So first thing that Prabhupada talks about is this the subject matter of the kingdom of God is above the material universes. And he says, it is clearly stated herein that the kingdom of God is above the material universes. One thing, Mr. Controller, if our voice doesn't become clearer because we're reading so much, tell us if we got to talk louder or softer or what's going on.
Your voice
it is clearly
excellent.
Stated herein that the kingdom of God is above the material universes. Just as there are many hundreds of thousands of higher planets above this earth. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Hundreds and thousands of higher planets above this earth. So there are many millions and billions of spiritual planets belonging to the spiritual sky. Brahmaji states herein that the spiritual kingdom is above the kingdom of the demigods. Now, of course, that brings in the point, well, what are the qualifications to reside there? Because the demigods have their qualifications to reside in the demigod planets. Then Prabhupada says, one can enter the kingdom of the Supreme Lord only when one is highly developed in desired qualities. Not just some desired qualities, but highly developed in desirable qualities. My goodness, got some to go. All good qualities develop in the person of a devotee. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12 that anyone who is Krishna conscious is endowed with all the good qualities of the demigods. Now, for us Americans, it's can you think of any kind of mnemonic device for memorizing this verse number? Yeah. Well, there was the War of 1812, right? In which our qualities were tested with our forefathers, you know, the British. Okay, so man, now you remember this. This is verses 5, 18, 12. It's cited in Upadeshamrita. So according to our Anjana Sutta Academy system, it's one verse which everybody must know. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate suraha harav abhaktasya kutom mahagunad mano ratinasati davato bahihi or bahihi davato. Yeah. And we should learn it for Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Bhai Bhava, if we're going to be on that level, and Prabhupada's going to test us to see if we're Goswamis. Then we probably should know the word. We should know the word by word meaning. You know, every time we see a verse like this, we can stop and actually take the time to read the Sanskrit and maybe try and commit it to memory. And if it is a verse that we're supposed to be knowing, then we can close our eyes and see if we can recite it and refresh ourselves. And that way we have an automatic study program for studying the principal verses and memorizing them, maybe even looking them up like that. But this is the situation. A devotee automatically develops all these qualities of a demigod. In the material world, the qualities of the demigods are highly appreciated, just as, even in our experience, the qualities of a gentleman are more highly appreciated than the qualities of a man in ignorance or in a lower condition of life, okay? So what are these qualities? Well, you might think that somebody is honest, he fulfills his promises and his vows, like that. He's humble, okay? So then the qualities of the demigods and the higher planets are far superior to the qualities of the inhabitants on this earth. Aha! Okay. Brahmaji confirms herewith that only persons who have developed the desired qualities can enter into the kingdom of God. So I would like to enter into the kingdom of God. How about you, brothers and sisters? You all want also? Say hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, okay. I want to do it. Yeah, but we have to develop these qualities. Maybe you already have them. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotee's desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. They are stated as follows. Okay, here we go. Now check yourself. Let's see how many you have. He is very kind. Are you kind? He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. Okay. He is magnanimous, generous, mild, always clean, internally and externally. He does not profess to possess anything in this material world. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful. Okay. Do you try to save the ants in your house? Yeah. Okay. He is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, you know, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others, and he does not demand respect for himself. He is very, very grave, very compassionate, very friendly. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities and is silent in nonsense. Okay. Maybe the last one is something especially you have to work on. So he put a little picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati here. And just looking at it, it'd be nice just to go through and read all these qualities with this picture in front of us and think of it, contemplate it like that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And also we have here, I guess if it was a New Age egalitarian idea, we would put S, parentheses, H-E, close parentheses for all these. Yeah. She-he. She-he. Because also, ladies also, even children, yeah, a pure devotee. You can be a pure devotee at 5 years old. Yeah, if nobody's going to take almost any, what's the word, any disqualification for becoming a pure devotee. Yeah, yeah. And so, lady, man, child, adult, you know, everybody should be manifesting these qualities, 26 qualities. Okay. Then Prabhupada says, similarly in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:21, and this is probably Tatikshiva Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Satru Shantava Sadubhushanaha. Okay, I can't remember the last part there. One more time here. Yeah. Tatikshiva Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Satru Shantava. So something in rather Sadhubhushana. Okay. The qualifications of a semi-person are mentioned. It is said that that a semi-person eligible to enter the kingdom of God is very tolerant to Tikshava and very kind to all living entities. Tikshava Karunika. He is not partial. He is kind to both human beings and to animals. He is not such a fool that he will kill a goat, Narayan, to feed a human Narayan or Daridra Narayan. That's interesting too, because everybody, they want to say, you know, we can also enter the temples. We don't have to have qualifications. We can all go on the altar. We can all become guru. We can all become everything, this and that, you know. Yeah. Because we are all Daridra Narayan. We are poor Narayans. But Prabhupada's expanding it here. They're saying, well, the goat then is also Daridra Narayan, and the cockroach. He is very kind to all living entities, okay? Yeah. Therefore, he has no enemy, Ajatasattu. He's very peaceful, Shantava. He abides by the scriptures. These are the qualities of persons who are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. So we have a list from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur, yeah? You know? And of course, as a judge, he was sometimes, I'm sure he was like stern and like, you know, giving reprimanding different people, like, you know, according to the law, I could like, you know, kill you. But, you know, I'm considering all the circumstances at this point, I'm going to fine you, you know, $10,000, give you 3 years in jail, but I don't want to ever see you in my court again. And the fellow is you know, thanking the judge, thanking Bhaktivinoda Thakur and kissing his feet, trying to kiss his feet, everything else. You know? So sometimes, yeah, being kind to living entities means to set up a strong, you know, fear in them. You know, fear of God, devotional service in the mode of ignorance is carried out of fear. So sometimes, yes, it does mean to be, you know, ferocious. Okay? That such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God as confirmed in Bhagavatam 5:52. 5:52. I think this is Rishabdev. Rishabdev, yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:24, this is it, also states that the scheduled incarnations with specific functions like that or something. Also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit, this is second canto. This is pure devotional service of change in heart. This is the last verse. Also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offense, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted, and therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God, Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy, due to ecstasy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we offensively chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oof. Let's go on to the next page. Okay. Okay. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. Okay. What is our previous verse here? These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy when we chant like that. So, okay. So we're going to these qualities, and devotee has all these moral and ethical qualities, which are being described before, 26, and then also in the Lord Kapiladeva's instructions to his mother about a sadhu, yeah, and then confirm that he gets liberated, instructions by Rishabde, 555, 552. Yeah. But then Prabhupada says that these will happen because we're a devotee. You know, we like to hear, as if by hearing, when he chants, then we offensively chant. Of course, chanting, you know, then we also have to be hearing. This is a very fact. Actually, you cannot talk without hearing. Yeah, yeah. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. Okay. This is very interesting, because today is the disappearance day, Tirubhava Mahotsav of Srila Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. Now, for those of you who believe in the hand of God touching our lives, you know, sometimes, or if we want to, you know, seeing the hand of God in our lives continuously, just like being on the Battle of Kurukshetra, and the charioteer and the warrior have to be, you know, in like a basketball game. They have to be tight with each other, you know, going this way, going that way, you know. So can imagine what it's like with them. Four very powerful horses. If you're on one horse by yourself, that's very powerful. If you've ever ridden horses and stuff, you know that they can really, you know, blend with their rider. It can be a very, very intimate relationship, so that when either one of them dies, the other one dies along with him. You know? Yeah. Lifelong relationship. Yeah. And so then the same way, you know, now we have a war chariot, not a big, handsome thing with gold and gilding. There's something made out of very, very strong wood. There are woods like Madrone, which are stronger than steel and flexible too. You know, so imagine they're building this chariot. And you see these things. You know, they're two wheels, you know, and small, sleek. You know, designed to handle different kinds of terrain. Put four powerful horses on it. Get yourself the right perspective, the driver down there right with them, and you've got something that's hard to beat. And then get the mounting different kinds of hellfire, laser-directed anti-tank rockets and all this kind of technology on board the thing. And you've got to be an incredible, you know, team to do this, you know, so on. So, yeah, we can see the hand of God in our lives during major events, or we can see the hand of God in our lives at every moment as we're trying to accomplish very, very, you know, difficult tasks. You know? So, maybe the hand of God is in our lives today, allowing us to hear all about the glories of the Holy Name on Haridas Thakur's appearance day. And maybe we can hear more about that later. But right now it says, it may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. Okay. The first offense is to decry persons who try in their lives to broadcast the glories of the Lord. They try in their lives. People must be educated in understanding the glories the Supreme. Therefore, the devotees, one second here, okay. Therefore, the devotees who engage in preaching the glories of the Lord are never to be decried. It is the greatest offense. You know, and Prabhupada says even somebody who's helping a preacher by doing what he can do, maybe he's not so articulate, maybe he's shy, or she is shy, she's not so articulate, you know, and somehow or other. But they work hard and steady, and they make a reasonable income as a laborer, and then they give some you know, substantial percentage of their income to support the movement. You know, they should also not be criticized. You know? Number two, furthermore, the holy name of Vishnu is the most auspicious name. His pastimes are also non-different from the holy name of the Lord. There are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Krishna or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiv because they are all the same. If one thinks that the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the holy and the names of, and activities of the demigods are on the same level, or if one accepts what? The holy name of Vishnu to be a material sound vibration, that is an offense. The third offense is to think that the spiritual master who spreads the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas or other transcendentally revealed scriptures, to be ordinary books of knowledge. The fifth offense, so we have Vaishnava, we have, what do we have here? First offense is blaspheming the Vaishnava. Then we have the holy name. Yeah. Okay. Then we have Guru. Yeah. And now we have Shastra. And then the fifth offense is to consider that devotees have given artificial importance to the holy name of God. Back to holy name now. Yeah. The actual fact is that the Lord is non-different from his holy name. The highest realization of spiritual value is to chant the holy name of God as prescribed for this age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of God. The seventh offense is to act simply on the strength of chanting the holy name. It is understood that one can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of God. But if one thinks that he is therefore at liberty to commit all kinds of sinful acts, that is a symptom of offense. The eighth offense is to equate the chanting of Hare Krishna with other spiritual activities such as meditation, austerity, penance, or sacrifice. They cannot be equated at any level. The ninth offense is to specifically glorify the importance of the holy name before persons who have no interest. Do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and then turn upon you. The tenth offense is to be attached to the misconception of possessing something or to accepting the body as oneself while executing the process of spiritual cultivation. Wow. Okay. Now, Madan Mohan, I remember he went through and suggested that we could all look at these 10 things that you should do. You should become detached from bodily connection. You should, well, yes, the ninth is kind of hard to negate, You should glorify the holy names as being superior to ritualistic activities. And Prabhupada says, when one is free from all 10 of these offenses in chanting the holy name of God, he develops the ecstatic bodily features called pulak ashru. Of course, that was a word in the actual text. Pulak means symptoms of happiness. Yeah? And ashru means tears in the eyes. Mahaprabho kirtana nritya gita varitramadhyan marana sorasena romancha kampa shutaranga bhajo. Romancha. Roma means hair, ancha means standing up. Kamp means, what's the word we have, like goosebumps. Romancha ha kampa ashutaranga. Ashu means tears and taranga means like waves. Yeah. Shutaranga bhajo. Yeah. Pulaka sharu, Ravir. Hari hai, goranga bolite habe, pulaka sharir. Hari 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 bolite nayane, nayane babunir. So same thing, pulaka shu. The hairs are standing up and the tears are flowing. The symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes must appear in a person who has chanted the holy name offenselessly. Here in this verse, it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the name are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. And the right here we have an artist's conception of Bhishma Dev, which looks like it might be pretty good. It doesn't look like some guy you want to go up against in a fair fight. Yeah. So, of course, Bhishma had so many qualities. Analyzing him. And at the time of death, he was had tears in his eyes and he was in ecstasy and thinking of Krishna's qualities. Okay. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. Chaitanya Charitamrita nicely suggests a nice remedy in this connection. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8, Adi Lila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, he becomes free from all offenses. So, saying, what is it? Saying that even if one chants the holy name of Krishna for many lifetimes, he won't get the desired effect of love of God if he has offenses. But if he takes shelter of the Panchatattva, then by the interaction of these five acharyas, one becomes free from offenses. Then he can chant Hare Krishna in ecstasy. So these two mantras are essential. You know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So that's kind of the end of this purport. And Lord Brahma is describing, you know, that this is the real essence of what's going on. Demigods may be coming for some kind of explanation about why the universe is going foul, why these management problems are happening, why, you know, we've got a nuclear war, you know, so forth, so on. Yeah. But Brahma is describing the cause, and there is a cause. And sometimes maybe these causes are wandering around in the dribble and bibble of, you know, of our particular reactions on this insipid level to what's happening in this world and each other. Or sometimes they may achieve some profundity, that they're actually being echoes of things happening on a higher level, right at the gates of the kingdom of God. And that gives Brahma then the opportunity to talk about then the ultimate benefit, which is hearing and chanting about the Lord's glories like that. And of course he has such opportunity with these sanghas like this and so on. So we're going to add here today, because these last few days, of course, we had a Kadasi followed by and fasting for Vamana Dwadasi. Then, of course, we had Vamana Dwadasi, and such an excellent festival. We always remember we were in Mayapur by good fortune one year on Vamana Dwadasi, and the curtains opened at noontime, and I guess Janivas, you know, wasn't a lot of people there, maybe like, you know, 150 devotees or something, maybe 200, which for a festival in Mayapur isn't that many. And there was Noon Artik, Radha Madhava, all the gopis, and one little boy was there. And he looked just like the age of what Vamana Dev would look like and everything else. And one time in Vrindavan we heard that probably went to one of these Leela, Ras Leela, you know, presentations. They have actors and stuff like that, little children. And he went with devotees, and then afterwards, and the devotees are thinking, well, this is kind of sahajya and doing all these Krishna Leela and stuff. But after it's over, then the artists, they pose as Radha and Krishna and like that and so on. And they, many times children. So then people come up and pay their obeisances and give donations. You know? So Prabhupada did the same thing. And the devotees are a little surprised, and they ask Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada said, are these actors pure devotees or whatever? And Prabhupada said, whether the form is made out of metal, clay, earth, painted, or whatever, the form is Radha and Krishna. So when its actors are presenting the form of Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna are there. And if they have character, oh, how much more, you know, is passing through like that. So it was such a very intense, exciting experience. We were feeling some ecstasy seeing this little child and thinking, wow, this is how Vamadeva must have looked. He was so young, and the little boy was you know, looking a little bit nervous because all of a sudden he's sitting up there like with all these people looking at him and dressed up like this and, you know, with this little umbrella and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he was just to the, from our side to the left of the altar onto the religious side out in front there. And his mother was standing down below, you know, on the side there, you can tell. He looked down at her, and she would kind of smile and nod, it's okay, you know. And so he would go on sitting there and being vomitative. And then what happened, there's all these offerings, you know. So then everybody would come up and pay their obeisances, and he would give them prasad, like that. And so he was also eating a little bit of their prasadam, too. Now the whole thing seemed a lot better like that. They had to have good advantages in being God, you know. So it was a very, very nice experience. You know, it's again something I'm remembering. And our whole life is to build up these festival days. There's such an opportunity that the hearing and chanting. First the name, Nama Rupa. And then the form starts to manifest. You want to see all these things. And then the qualities, you know. And then after that, the associates, you know. The temple, the ambience, and the pastimes start to become manifest, you know. Yeah. So Vamana Dwadasi, Tri Vi Krama, three, big, very much, activities. Tri Vi Kram, he did three big things. Yeah. Then, of course, next day was a half-day fast. And I guess Vamana Dwadasi was also Jiva Goswami's appearance day also. He's also kind of the Vamana of our Prabhupada Goswami, no? In some way. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, his festival day is incredible. We have just so many songs from him. And our parampara is so nice, you know. In Christianity, there are different people going back. But the very original connection with Jesus Christ is not very clear. Who the characters are in the Bible and the Gospels are not very clear. And the same with Buddha. Kridayananda Maharaj said that everybody agrees that nobody has the original teachings of Buddha, that it's definitely coming from one or two generations after, that maybe even more than that. Yeah. So we're very fortunate to have this really transparent, you know, connection to our acharyas. And, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does so much, you know, to manifest that in superhuman activities. Yeah. Then today is Haridas Thakur's appearance day. You have a picture here, which on the internet they say this is a picture of Haridas Thakur. Yeah. I mean, that's just Jiva Goswami. That's supposed to be Jiva Goswami. Yeah, he said there. And he has his water pot and his Tulsi bead and his very simple, what do you call it? What's it called? Gamsha type thing. Babaji Besh and Cheddar. And in tropical climates, you can live like this, chant. And what more do you need? You know? But of course, he also was producing so much literature. He wrote 400,000 verses, which of course is four times the size of the Mahabharata. Prabhupada says the Vaishnavas are the greatest scholars. And he says among them, Jiva Goswami was the greatest, like that. Yeah. Yes. And today, okay, now we have Haridas Thakur. Yeah. And this is Antya Lila, chapter 11, the passing of Haridas Thakur. So, of course, today is a wonderful day. You know, we could do these festivals. Amazing. Janmashtami, Radhashtami, then this whole series of festivals, one after another. And, of course, today is the passing away of Haridas Thakur. You know? And it's a very excellent chapter, of course, to read, you know, contemplate. And Prabhupada said we're doing a Bhagavad Gita program also on Wednesday nights. We did chapter 13 last night, Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness, Kshetra, Kshetrajna. Then Prabhupada summarizes everything in the last verse of chapter 13. And he says, these things, you know, the nature, the enjoyer, the consciousness, are meant to be understood and contemplated. So we have to contemplate deeper and deeper. And some of these pastimes, we get a taste, we start to enter into them. We love to recite them. And we're attracted to them. You know, some are ones that we're attracted to. Maybe we shouldn't be attracted so much because we have a different duty. You know, Daruka was feeling ecstasy and fanning Krishna, but it was disturbing his actual service, so he suppressed that ecstasy. You know, different hierarchies of ecstasies passing. But Haridas Thakur, he was Namacharya. Then after his traveling and preaching, he ended up in Jagannath Puri and was staying there. in a very simple circumstance. And Lord Chaitanya would visit him every day and bring prasad. Then one time he found him leaning against a tree, kind of sitting upright, but leaning against a bent palm tree, I guess. And he said, what's wrong, Haridas? You have some disease. And Haridas Thakur said, my disease is I can't finish my number of rounds. Of course, the number of rounds was, 128 a day or something? Yeah. So the Lord Chaitanya says, you're old, you can reduce the number, you've already, sufficiently preached the glories of the Lord, like that. So the purport Prabhupada says, if we can't finish our rounds, we have to understand we are in a spiritually diseased condition, like that, yeah. So, this went on, and then later, Haridas Thakur said, I want to request a benediction from you. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, what is it? And he said, I think you're going to be winding up your material pastimes soon. I have this feeling, And so I want to ask from you that you don't, that you allow me to leave my body, before that happens, because that's going to be too much. I can understand a lot of things and this and that, but experiencing your disappearance, maybe I want to hear about it from somebody or something like this and that, okay, but I don't want to be there when it happens. It's too much for me. So please give me that benediction. And Lord Chaitanya says, oh, Haridas Thakur, that's blah, 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 blah. And then Haridas Thakur said, please, my Lord, do not work an illusion. Do not make an illusion. Just give me this benediction. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't give him the benediction, but he says, well, I'm just a sannyasi, and who knows when we'll die. But I'm sure that because you're such a great devotee, whatever you desire, Krishna will accomplish. You know? It's very interesting because my wild mental speculation, why not? We can speculate, philosophically, and we can confirm it, is that Jayananda is an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj or Haridas Thakur. Many, many factors. It's a whole separate lecture. But you notice his Tirubhava festival is the day before Nisringadev's festival. He had the tolerance and humility. That was his main quality, like Prahlad and Haridas Thakur. And also, too, maybe he was also beginning to appreciate that Prabhupada was going to be disappearing soon and didn't want to hang around for it, and left. Tamal Krishnamurti, others said that Jayananda may have left to go and get things set up for Prabhupada next time like that. So very, very incredible Leela. And then what happened next? Then here's Anti Leela 1150-56. In front of all the great devotees, this is after, I think this is when Haridas Thakur had left his, he was leaving his body. It was obvious. He was about to go. So everybody was there by him. In front of all the great devotees like Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five mouths. Wow. The more he described, the more his great happiness increased. After hearing of the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They all had respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. Yeah. Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him. Wow. And then fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. Reminds us of Bhishma, no? He then held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his heart. My goodness. And then he took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put it on his head. He began to chant the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya again and again. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Haribo. Wow. Hope we have something similar. The time of death, we're probably going to chant cat, cat, cat. Like that. Yes. So then Lord Chaitanya took the body and was dancing with the body of Haridas Thakur, probably very light by that time. And there's a nice kirtan. Then he personally dug the sand, and they put the body where, I guess, they did proper performance. They bathed it in the ocean. Everybody took that water, and he wrapped it properly, and then buried him in the sand and made a little plinth there, you know, standing up. And Lord Chaitanya then glorified anybody who saw this disappearance, or maybe remembered it. Then he went and they collected prasad, you know, the whole story of collecting prasad from the shopkeepers for a festival at the Tirubhava festival for Haridas Thakur. And everybody was taking prasad, and then they started chanting this mantra. And this is very, very nice. We should all memorize this today. Jaya, 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 Haridasa, Namara Mahima, Yena Karila Prakash. Three times Jaya, Haridasa. Namara, like Gorangera, Gorangera Artik Shobha. Name means of the name. And Vrindavanda Mahima Mrita. Mahima means the glories. Jena, he, Karila, like karma, made, Prakash, manifested. You know? All glories to Haridas Thakur, who made the glories of the holy name manifested. Jaya, 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 Haridasa, Namara Mahima, Yena Karila Prakasha. Yeah. You can really get into it. Such a nice mantra to chant for maybe half an hour or something. Just go on. Yeah, okay. So it's kind of like, I think, okay. Then tomorrow is Vishvarup Mahotsava. The fun never stops. This is the Purnima. So we publish our newsletter on Purnima and what's it called, Amavasya. This is also the anniversary of Lord Chaitanya of the Srila Prabhupada's sannyas. Yeah. And the anniversary of Nectar of Instruction, Haribo, which is our book. We carry it around our neck, you know, continuously. So what a big holiday, Prabhupada's sannyas, anniversary of Nectar of Instruction. And in the preface, Prabhupada says that the preface was completed. The book was completed, dedicated, released. September 20th, 1975, in Ramanreti, Vrindavan, India. So Prabhupada, of course, must also have been thinking of the anniversary of the sannyas. So tomorrow is also going to be a fantastic holiday, no? I think he probably took sannyas on Ramanreti, no? So if you add it up here, we get 41 years. Haribo. So tomorrow we can have a birthday cake with 41 candles, and somebody with great spiritual potency can blow them all out, or maybe a team like that. Yeah. So Nectar of Instruction, tomorrow we can chant the entire Nectar. We must do it. Tomorrow we must chant all the Sanskrit for Nectar of Instruction, and then read the English. I think, how's it go? Just one of the two, maybe just the English or the Sanskrit, or both, takes 3 minutes. That's all it takes, a whole Nectar of Instruction. So we have a whole poster, a whole Sankirtan program. You know, we do call the lecture series called 3 Minutes with a Genius. That's the big letters. It shows some very attractive ancient picture of Rupa Goswami. And it says, big letters, 3 Minutes with a Genius. The first time we did this was at Oxford, and of course those guys are all looking for geniuses. Then it describes, you know, the glories of Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami. He wrote so many incredible books. But then he summarized everything he knew in one book, Upadeshamrita. So come and join us Thursday night at 7 p.m. and spend 3 minutes with a genius. Okay. So, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any comments, questions, complaints, donations? We need all the mercy we can get.
I have unmuted everybody. Is there any questions or comments?
Everybody's in ecstasy. Everybody will.
Well, I especially like that description, as you're describing, when at the play, when Prabhupada offered his obeisances to just the actors. That was amazing. I never heard that before.
It's with our Manipuri group traveling with them. You know, they're very steeped in a lot of this stuff, very much. You know. And so they do it when they're starting at a little age, like five years old, you know. Mm. So when they're doing that, it's a technical skill. It's 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 also directly. They feel, you know, they feel that if they have good character and they're doing it properly, when they're dancing, that Radha and Krishna will be there, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu will be there. And watching them so many times like that, the other people too, you can really feel, you know, feel the presence of Radha and Krishna like that and stuff. When the actors have good personal character, oh, you know, then Krishna, yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's incredible. Long report.
You know, it's interesting that the Mahabharata, the one that Hridayananda Maharaj, the sections that he translated.
Oh, yeah.
There's many times that we talk about different sages like that, and it always ends up this term, and then they went off in their own way or something like that, in search of austerities. I always thought that was odd. You know, but it seems like in the Mahabharata, at least the way there's the translations of it, that that's really emphasized. Mystic power, austerities, like that. You know, of course, Bhagavad Gita is there, but still, you know, in the many places, that's there.
Gyan and Vairagya, huh? Those two things are emphasized. And I guess Vairagya automatically leads to dhyan, like, you know, austerities and power. Yeah. And Vairagya, of course, with almost all ethics and morality, is always based upon refraining yourself from this and that, yeah, so on. Yeah. And that our society now, my God, was really any kind of, well, I don't know what kind of ethical or moral character there is, you know. In many ways, the anti-hero is what everybody aspires for, the guy like who was like, you know, actually, he's actually externally a rogue, but he has at heart, you know, certain good qualities. Yeah, yeah. Prabhupada says that he, what is that? So many times, Prabhupada says that half-educated spiritual masters make humanity the object of worship. And so then we get Ganapati, you know, pati of the Gana, of the people. And Ganesha, you know, master of the... So that's the deity for those in the mode of ignorance and passion is Ganesh. And so many times, in so much popular literature and media, that's what the hero does. He protects the people, you know, this and that and so forth and so on. And then he gets the girl, celestial happiness. So many times James Bond is saving the world from somebody who's going to kill off everybody this way and that way. And then in the end, James Bond gets, you know, another gopi. I forgot what it is now. How many? The statistics are there. How many gopis James Bond has had, you know, pastimes with. Like that. Yeah. And how many people have tried to kill him. Yeah.
You know, another thing I thought that was interesting about this verse is the previous verse, Lord Brahma was saying how even he and the other demigods, they desire to have a human birth, because in a human form birth you can attain, you know, liberation, perfect knowledge and liberation. And then in this verse, did you notice on the in the first line, the name for the demigods he uses is Animisham, which means
2025?
Yeah, today's verse.
Yeah.
It says,
oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Animisham is the demigod. So, Misha is like an incredibly small duration of time. Then,
yeah.
Animisham means those who are free of that. You know, they live for a very, very long, long time. But the human beings, it's just like a moment. So, in the previous verse, he was saying that the human form of life is just so valuable because you can attain perfection. Practically speaking, like in a moment, compared to them. That's why.
Nainish, Aranya, right? Nainish.
Oh, you like Aranya. Oh, so what is that?
Yeah, Nainish. It means that Vishnu's glance doesn't deviate from that forest, even one Nainish.
Wow. You know,
it's taken as a blink. Because in one, actually, a magician, if you've done this with your hand motions, in one blink, you can change the cards and the person can't see it. But you can't slip that magic by on Vishnu if you're at Naimisharanya. Vishnu's got his eyes trained there. Let's go down here. 24. Okay. Yeah. For one can attain perfection. Okay. For in the human form of life, one can attain perfection and knowledge immediately. All pervading influence. Is there Sanskrit for the quick time there? Those desires certainly can form, attain knowledge, subject, swadharma, aradhana, bhagavatam, amusha. My dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we desire to have such life, for in the human form one can attain a perfection, religious truth and knowledge. In this human form of life does not understand, he's wasted his time. It's interesting. Because Prabhupada's saying that the purport that one cannot, does not achieve it in one lifetime. But then Giri Govardhan making this point that what happens is, usually even a devotional service, we may be acquiring things like that and so on. But human form is a great opportunity to start the whole process like that. Maybe in two lifetimes. And also, too, even if we die in Krishna consciousness, we usually take birth at a place where Krishna is directly engaged in his lila, to get the final training like that. So anybody else have any comments here? It's already 12:15 here, kind of.
Maharaj, I have a comment. The way that the purport ends in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8 of Adilila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord Hare Krishna, he becomes free from all offenses. I've heard somewhere, and I've done this for a number of years, before I chant each round, I do Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Guru Bhaktivinoda, and then go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, before each round. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that you specifically have to. I know some devotees chant Prabhupada's pranams and other things, but I've never read any place or even heard that Prabhupada said we must chant it. But before each round. But in the Adi 7, again and again, the Lord Chaitanya and five features, Prabhupada is saying, all chanting of Hare Krishna mantra must be preceded by the chanting of the Panchatattva mantra. And he explains why, because we're offensive, manaragaha. And we have, all the potencies are there, but we don't get any attachment because of our offenses. So there, in chapter 7, I guess 8 also, but 7, there are maybe two purports or three, we're probably saying that we have to proceed. The chanting of Hare Krishna must always be preceded by the chanting of the complete Panchatattva mantra, like that. And so
I always chant that. I always chant that before I start chanting my rounds. I don't chant
even
it between every
chanting,
round, but right in the beginning.
Fail, if your attention starts to fail or something else, you can also kirtans with Jayananda, we go out, and kirtan maybe is going on sometime, and then he would go back and chant, lead the Panchatattva mantra sometime, and then go back to the other one. Yeah, it would, you can take advantage of the Panchatattva mantra, for purifying us of our offensive chanting, repeatedly like that. Okay, so I guess I want to thank everybody very much, and hope that you
thank you, Maharaj.
Very, very, very great. Advancement in your purification, eternal purification, to enable your service, so much more in this great, great series of festival days. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.